Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply moved and grateful you chose to be with me on this August 2nd day, 2020. We're going to entitle this program, I Don't Get It. And it's really about me. Some listeners trying to decipher what I'm trying to do here on the radio. And I will try to help them understand a little bit. You know, giving a message like I do about spiritual awakening is not something that's mainstream. It's not something most people understand, appreciate, or can even comprehend because we have lived so deeply in our humanness. We are sapiens. We live like animals. We have herd mentality. We go on living the way we do, fighting for survival, cheating, stealing in many cases, bending the law. We see the government doing it. We see people doing it. We see the law enforcement doing it. So it's very confusing to people to hear a message like this because what people are looking for is a political doctrine, something that makes sense to truth, justice, and what they think of as the American way. And what you're seeing right now in this pandemic and what you are witnessing in how it is being orchestrated and how it is being dealt with, which is an orchestration, not really dealing with it, we are realizing, all of us, or some of us, I should say, that none of what we thought was America is America. Of course, I never fell for it. You have to understand that as a prelude to all of this. I never was much of a flag waver. I was born in the Eisenhower days, the late days, and then on to the Kennedy moments. And after his assassination, it even became clear to me that at 12 years old that something was amiss with the government. So I am not a political analyst. I don't know my politics from a hole in the wall. So please don't once again think that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to politics. I only know what I experience from my practice and helping others for these years. I just want to get that prelude off right there. First, a question comes from Wayne, and he lives in Texas, and he says, I don't get you. I listen, but I don't get you. What are you trying to do? You don't seem religious, and you admittedly don't know anything about politics. So what are you doing? What is the meaning of your program, Wayne? He actually said, what is the purpose of your program? And then he said, meaning. Well, Wayne, I'm an alternative to conventional thinking. I'm an alternative to the way most of us choose to live in this world, which is out of fear and hatred. I'm an odd person. I have been since I was a child. Nothing has changed. I live my life in accord with what I'm experiencing deep on the inside of my being. I don't claim to be special, unique, or anything like that. I'm just odd. And people who work from within, in the within, as the within, are always odd human beings. They just are. And they don't fit into the caliber of society and the complex nature of a world where everybody is just looking to fight for their rights, eat, drink, and be merry, and get away with whatever they can get away with at the time that they think they need to do things that are unkind. I don't fit. That's the bottom line. What am I doing? I'm not driving for large numbers of people. I don't want a following like that. I am offering to you a way to live your life in an alternative measure of love. that alternative measure that is love is not something that is natural to the human being. Most humans live in accordance with their instinct, not love. So I am looking at my life and your life, and I'm sharing with you ways to live beyond the beyond. This will not make sense in your mind. This will not make political, social sense at all. It won't make any kind of sense. I'm not here to appeal to your senses. I am not here to appeal to your logic. I am not here to reason with your reasoning. I'm not here to help you be whatever you want to be. I'm here to help you understand the subtle nuances of living in a lifetime where the meaning of existence matters more than the rules of society. If you look at it, Wayne, you will see that it is society that has harmed any progress that we could ever have had, spiritually speaking. It was society and government that killed Socrates, killed Jesus, kept Buddha in the woods where he had to live over and over and over again. Very tough life in the woods of India, just very, very difficult. I am not for everyone. I look at Gandhi, you see what happened there. You see what happened even in Jack and Bobby and Martin, where they were trying socially to change people. That didn't work. And that's what happened there. You see everything with that. We don't want love. We are not interested in love. And each of my listeners has to understand whether or not they are a part of that herd mentality, that collective unconscious, in perceiving whether or not they are interested in love at all. Now, most people aren't. They are just interested in having things work out the way they want things to work out, having difficulties and trying to find a cure for those difficulties, some of them being just basic survival, blah, blah. All of that, very, very difficult. But that's the way people are. I am not of that ilk. I am not interested in solving problems or whatever. I'm interested in the awakening that lives within us that transcends all of that. I'm interested in transcendence. I am not interested in the political and social means by which a society could change. If you look at it historically, Wayne, I think you'll see that a lot of what you see in the world as far as social change has not been for the good. I mean, we took the iPhone, the technology of it, and instead of using it for the greater good of the world, we turned it into a place, a forum for really the ignorant and the unawakened to have a voice that awakens other people who are of that ilk, and there are millions and millions of them. We've turned it into this platform where anybody can say anything and spread their poison all over the planet. And it is easy because most of us as human beings are not interested in the awakening. We're not interested in it at all. So when you think in terms of why things are the way they are and why people are the way they are and why I am the way I am and Wayne is the way he is, you look at it and go, well, what are we doing with this very valuable tool, this thing called an iPhone? Well, we're using it. Look at what the president uses it for. I mean, it's horrible. It's anything society gets a hold of, they turn it into something very self-destructive. And we are all a part of it. We don't see it. We don't see our part in it. And hence, it makes for a very painful existence, to say the least. I don't need another person's antagonistic points of view to understand the agony that we all face in and of ourselves. It is not God doing this. It is not the devil and all that other stuff we like to believe. It is simply ourselves. It is we ourselves who are making all of this the way it is. So what am I doing? I'm simply offering to you an alternative to conventional thinking. I've answered this question many times in my career, Wayne. I've never been able really to satisfy anyone with my answer. My own students aren't even satisfied. So everything has to pertain in their life to having a better, easier life. And yet, it all lives within us. And when given a chance to do something magnificent, I find that human beings will always reduce it to something that is petty and selfish. I'm the anti-selfish God. Anyway, there you are. I hope that helps you understand me a little bit more. And thank you for listening in Texas. I don't have many Texans listening to me, as you might imagine. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Josh, and he does not tell me where he lives. What is important to you about your listening audience, us, Josh? Josh, that is one of the most profound questions I've ever been asked, and I am deeply touched and moved by your question. I don't know if it was said sarcastically or if it was said in earnest. I'm going to take the earnest because that's just the way I am. What is important to me about all of you? That you understand and comprehend the meaning of love in your life. That is the only thing that is important. Whether or not you attribute your life to love, can devote your life to love, can recognize your life in love, well, that is my job to help you. I am here to help you understand all of that and possibly help you change the way you live your life in the means of maybe being more compassionate, being less selfish, free maybe from greed. That would be lovely. To be forgiving above all, and to be merciful. If there is anything I would like to be known of, as it is that I taught not only the consequences of our lives based on how we live them in predicate our livingness in money and power and prestige, but that quite possibly there was mercy. I taught you a sense of how important mercy is. If we are not merciful people, if we do not forgive and give constantly, we miss the meaning of our life, our daily life, and everything that we go about in our living. We cause ourselves a tremendous amount of heartache. Most people live out of their cultural self, what they were culturally bred into, born into bodies that had all sorts of genetic defects and indifferences and painful things. We've seen all of that before. We are a people that find it difficult to understand why we have to earn a living. Most people don't want to earn a living. A lot of people don't want to work. They just want money, and they want to be taken care of, la, 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 all of this. We hear all of that all the time. So there's this idea of wanting to be rich, famous, and powerful. And in doing that and wanting to be rich, famous, and powerful, we will do a lot of things that we think will make us so. Mark Chapman, the man who killed John Lennon, said recently that the only reason he did it, he shot him, was that he wanted to be well known. He wanted to be make a name for himself. This is the way people are. It is very sad, very, very sad. we do some odd things in order to make ourselves what we think of as legitimate people, people who have the power to do whatever, you know, the influence that we become important. Men call it respect. Women call it being loved. And if there is anything I am after with human beings, it is to reconcile inside themselves the meaning of their life through love, not through power and prestige, but to begin to see their life based in love. And that love is not cheap. You just can't look at it as though it's something trivial and easy to obtain. It is an attainment, not something I obtain. So if I'm going to attain to love, I'm going to have to look at my life from a very different perspective. I'm going to have to look at it from the state of being that is the goodness of everyone's nature. I cannot realize love until I realize the nature of love in everyone. What am I trying to do with you? What am I all about with you? What is important that you understand you are a part of love. You are love. You are everything you seek. And as we all come together in a moment of great solidarity, in compassion, forgiveness, and mercy, we enter into love. And instead of trying to get whatever we can get from one another, we try to give whatever we can give to one another, to help each other, to become one in a network of love, of mercy, of compassion. That's my element. That's what I'm after. That's how I look at you. What is important to me about you? Everything. Believe it or not, Josh, everything. I do everything I do for you. But I can't reach everybody. I understand that. And I'm not sitting here thinking we are the world, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not, because people are not going to do that. There are people who are nationalists. They have low self-esteem, deeply low self-esteem. They were not raised well by parents, and hence they have low self-esteem in the rigors of their daily life. They give that low self-esteem, that disease, that terrible disease, to not only others, but everyone they meet within themselves as family and friends and their job, and they just never get it. They give, but they give the poison, not the blessing. So what's important to me about you is that you're listening. And when I realize you're listening, when I hear your questions and everything that you say, I get a feeling for what I can do maybe to help you. The problem is on your end, because most people get easily insulted. And because they're easily insulted, we make no progress, no headway in this lifetime, absolutely none. I often wonder with people when I'm speaking to them, how many times can they hear how wrong they are before they don't want to hear how wrong they are? When I'm offering you a truth or something in the infinite that is counter to maybe your human beliefs and your human experience, and you get insulted and angry about it and think, well, this guy's crazy, I don't want to listen to him anymore. I wonder how many times you can hear that inside your head before you just walk away and there's just no chance of having any influence of the other shore upon you. It doesn't take much, maybe one or two times, and people are done. If you read, Josh, the Buddha, if you read Jesus at all, you will see they said some pretty foul things, socially speaking. Things that were against the nature of society in their day as well. They were not popular men. Obviously, you see it with Jesus. Buddha had to stay in the forest. His brother was constantly after him, trying to kill him. So you have to understand all of this. You have to understand the truth is not popular. It never will be. Only a small group of people attain to the truth, not large numbers. If there is a large number of people following anyone, it is wrong. I can tell you, it is appealing to their egotistical, primeval nature. And it isn't serving humankind very well. So what is important to me about you? Everything. And all I ever wanted from my audiences is their attention. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, this is from Reed, and he lives in my old stomping grounds, Santa Barbara, California. He says, is trying enough? That's all he wrote, and then he signed it, Reed. No, Reed. Trying is not enough. What we need to do is be total. Now, if you can be total in what you feel you are trying, then that's something different. To be total is to be absolutely committed to love, absolutely committed to compassion, to such a degree that you would be willing to cast aside the pleasures of the body and the ego of the mind and do what is necessary to make love possible. So the question, Reed, you might want to ask yourself is, what is it about me that made my life possible? The way I live my life. What is it about me that made all of this happen? Now, that is something extremely important to ask oneself. You can ask it right now. What is it about me that made my life the way it is? Now, you can't blame politics, religion, philosophy, all that. We're not going there. Get down to the deep nitty-gritty. What are your values? What is it that you will live and literally die for that makes it possible for you to live the way you do? That is the big question. Trying? Well, there is no try. There is absolutely no try. You either do or you don't. And in this case, life is either black or white. You either live in the effort, the totality of the effort, the complete totality towards love, or you just kind of mishigosh around in sometimes I do and sometimes I don't kind of mentality. If you understand that, if you can live in that without trying, simply doing without doing, simply living without the idea of benefit. If you can merge your life into something that exquisite, you will find yourself no longer being yourself. You will no longer be what you think you are or what you have been told you need to be. Instead of doing things out of the need to get something you want, you do things out of the love that lives in your heart. This is an amazing event in a person's life. You can do this. You really can. Any one of us can. The problem is we don't want to change our life because we're afraid that if we do, what people will think of us, what our family will think of us, and all that other stuff. And hence, we miss whatever it is that is deeply important to ourselves and the world. Reed, thank you for your beautiful question. I love Santa Barbara. Always have, always will. Thank you for your kind question. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope this weekend helped you. We'll be back on the air next week. Thank you for listening. And once again, please forgive me. Namaste.